Hello and welcome to a very special Masters Week edition of the Four Press Podcast presented by GolfWeek.com. I'm your host, David Dusek, and this week my guest is David Westin from the Augusta Chronicle. David is not only a writer with the Augusta Chronicle, but he's also an Augusta resident, so I thought that he would be the perfect person to talk to about what it was like in Augusta back in March when it was announced that the Masters was being postponed. David also talked with me about the economic impact of the Masters on the town of Augusta, and how Augusta National is going to play differently in November than it typically does in April, and how working at the Masters this year is going to be very, very different. So sit back, relax, pull up some pimento cheese, maybe a little glass of sweet tea, and get a feel for the Masters from a local's point of view. Get stronger, hit longer, and end pain with Golf Forever. Created by Justin Leonard and co-author of the Younger Next Year Back book, Dr. Jeremy James, Golf Forever is the take anywhere online golf fitness program that helps you build a body primed for golf. It's simple, safe, and it works. At home, in the gym, on the golf course, Golf Forever's easy to follow exercises, warm-up routines, and course management videos will help you play your best pain-free. Sign up today at golfforever.com and use promo code GOLFWEEK for a free 14-day trial. And now, without further ado, I'd like to welcome David Westin from the Augusta Chronicle to the Four Press Podcast. David, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks a lot for asking me and having me on the show.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely. This is a big week. It's finally here. It's Masters Week, and I can only imagine for a resident of Augusta and a person who has been going to the Masters for a long time, I would imagine there was a sense of relief, like it's finally here. What's the tone in and around Augusta, Georgia right now?
Well, most people are just, they were very afraid it would get canceled. So the fact that they just postponed it to November was a relief. And then also it once the pandemic, people saw how serious it was, they weren't surprised when they announced that there wouldn't be patrons either. That was no, mm-hmm. People had prepared for that. And, so, it's kind of weird. It's a weird, strange. It's going to be strange because there's no buzz in the city because, nobody can go to the tournament.
Yeah.
And there's nobody, outside the gates walking. There's nobody trying to, buy a ticket. There's no, concessions or, there's nothing.
Traffic's probably moving along Washington Road just fine.
Right. So I live about 10 minutes away. I got here. I thought I had everything I needed. I left my laptop at home. So I just rushed back and I was back in, 15 minutes. So there was no traffic at all. There's no, cops on the road directing traffic like it usually is. As a reporter, it's kind of positive to me. Mm-hmm. I never really go out on the course to watch the action because you can't see it.
Yeah.
There's so many people. You're like five and six people back. And just if you want to cover it, you're better off watching it on TV where they can go from hole to hole. But this year, we're allowed on the course, just us, the media, and the volunteers. And there are not many of those. So, I'm actually going to go out there and watch and be able to, get more of a feeling for what's going on being there and, like right next to the players. And, for instance, they don't have ropes out there because there's no fans. They put these dotted lines out there where the ropes would be. And you just have to stay to the left or right of those dotted lines. But for instance, number 12T, that thing is par three. You can walk right down behind the tee now because there's usually a million people there and they're in chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just walk right down there and watch them tee off on the most famous par three in the world on Sunday afternoon with the tournament hanging in the balance. It's going to, so to me, that's a benefit. I know that I hate the fans aren't here, but it's going to help me cover the tournament better.
So getting back to my favorite subject, which is me. Yeah. It's for a media person. It is always for me going to the Masters is a fantastic opportunity to see players on a golf course that we've all come to know and love. And it's, we all know it so intimately. It can be frustrating from a work standpoint, because as you point out, it's one of the few events really the only event that I go to where I don't have inside the ropes access. Photographers and media people have to stay outside the ropes just like the patrons. And that means depending on where you are and the groups that you're following, if you're following somebody who's not named Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy, you can usually get a pretty good view of the action. But if you're following the leaders, certainly on the weekend, you are either two or three holes ahead, or you got to get real sneaky and crafty about your viewing, in which case you're not close, but you've got a clear line of sight, or you're looking over five or seven sets of shoulders along the rope line, and that can make it hard to do your job. Now, I know everybody out there listening is saying, cry me a river, but we've got stories to write, and we've got things that we need to accomplish, and I agree. Oftentimes, the tournament itself, to follow the tournament and the action as a whole, it's much, much easier, and you can do a much more thorough job inside the media center watching on TV because there are not big electronic scoreboards flashing highlights around Augusta National. There are not any real electronic anythings going out there. As everybody sort of knows from watching the broadcast, the scoreboards are done manually, and you're not allowed to bring your phone out on the golf course, so you can't keep up with who's in the lead. You're relying on all this stuff. It's pretty difficult. Let's backtrack, though, a little bit to March. What was the initial reaction, and you hinted upon it a little bit, when the Players' Championship cancels the action on Friday and the COVID-19 pandemic really sort of hits the sports world as a whole? What was the initial tone? Was it pretty clear right from the get-go that the Masters was not going to happen in April? Or what? Walk me through, if you can, a rough timeline of what was happening and what was the tone in the town.
There was after that second round of the Players was canceled, it was about 5 days later or less that the Masters announced that they were be postponed. And right. Then in April, here's the timeline, in April, that's when they announced when the postponed date was going to be. In November, mm-hmm. there was all these theories that it was going to be in October. People were booking hotel rooms in October.
I remember.
Trying to get a good deal. But that didn't happen because at that time, people thought that there were going to be patrons here. So then April, they announced, that it's going to be in November. And then it was a couple of months later that they announced there'd be no patrons. So it's been about four different announcements to get to where we're at now. And it's interesting that right after the Players' Championship, they froze the field to this master where, anybody, for instance, like Daniel Berger.
Much to the chagrin of Daniel Berger, they froze the field.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's like three other guys too that they should have played better. You know, that was just the way it was. And, Carlos Ortiz won yesterday. Well, I didn't get him in. And normally that would be an exciting story. A guy won in Houston and that got him in the next week's Masters.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. You know, we had a big plan for the paper today that, the winner, that was going to be our big centerpiece, the winner of Houston, now he's riding high coming into the Masters.
Yeah.
But guess what? That happened because he wasn't in the Masters.
it made for some interesting talk about a little bit about the economic impact of the Masters on the city of Augusta, because as with any other major sporting event, certainly one that happens over the course of a week or two, there's a lot of money that gets turned, the restaurants, hotels, different things that go around outside the gates of the Augusta National. What was the effect on those businesses? Oh yeah. In addition to the fact that there's a pandemic that's putting the clamps on a lot of things, how did that affect everybody in town?
I did a story on that. And one thing you didn't mention was people rent their houses for thousands and thousands of dollars. And that money is not coming in. And it's unclear if some people got an early payment, if they had to return that or is it just going to count for April. But T-Bone's restaurant, a steakhouse here in town, is the most popular restaurant, and I talked to the owner when they announced no patrons, and he said, well, we're just going to have to scale back because he never ordered. He told me how much extra meat he has to order, but he doesn't order it until a week or two before the tournament. So it didn't, they're not losing money because of that in that regard. But yeah. There's a big theory that there's a lot of, we won't know until this week plays out, but there's a theory that a lot of out-of-town people are coming into town just to watch it on TV at the restaurants and bars and try to be a part of it in that way.
Interesting.
There's a big new hotel in North Augusta right across the river that had a story in the paper today that they're sold out. So that kind of...
People just want to be around the action. Yeah, they just want to be there. They want to be there and sort of feel it, hanging out at the Partridge Inn or hanging out at T-Bones or something like that to experience their Masters. I would imagine those are people who are going to be driving. I can't imagine too many people flying to watch an event on TV, but this is, as they say, a tradition unlike any other. Do I have it right also? Because I have stayed in rented houses before. School is canceled for the kids during the week of the Masters in April, right?
Well, it normally is, and then so they changed it when they announced it the November date. So all these schools went and said, okay, that's going to be our fall break instead of spring break. So they said, okay, no school that week. And then when they said no patrons, well, they took that back, and they added a couple of those days to Thanksgiving.
So now Daniel Berger's not happy, and now the kids of Augusta, Georgia are not happy either.
That's right. It's just so many things that you're used to see happen, you know, like the drive, chip, and putt. It's always Sunday. And of course, the women's amateur was Saturday starting last year. And so those, what I call today in my story, like the lead-in events or the preliminary to the main event was not being held. There's no par three tournament because that is so much for the fans.
Right.
So there's so many things. Like, it's unclear also about the green jacket ceremony. You know, they do it in Butler Cabin for CBS. Well, that's a little cabin, and I think it's going to look weird if you're having social distancing there.
Well,
so
yeah.
They always, also after that, they go to the outdoor green, putting green outdoor, and have another ceremony. So that might be what they do, just one ceremony and outdoor this year.
Now, obviously, you are at Augusta National right now. Everybody, as I understand it, who is going to be on the grounds is getting tested. Is that correct?
Well, everybody who's here had to get tested for today. Like, I got tested on Saturday on Augusta National grounds. It was a drive-through test. I had my results in 30 minutes. But when you walk in, they take your temperature and ask you a bunch of questions. But, your badge has already been checked to say that you passed your COVID test.
Right. Which is similar to what – yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Was that the question you were asking?
Yeah, it sounds like it's very similar. So I've been to two PGA Tour events. I was at the Travelers Championship in June. It was able to maintain its date on the calendar. And all media people and everybody basically on the grounds was tested before they were allowed on to, to go into work. Media members, we all got tested. Then I was at the Northern Trust, which was the first event of the FedEx Cup playoffs at TPC Boston. That was, as I recall, beginning of August, and was not tested there. But social distancing obviously was, in full swing. We had our desks in the media center. We're well away from one another. And then I went to the U.S. Open, all of these being very close to my house. I live in central Connecticut, so the Travelers for me is 30 minutes away. I slept in my own bed. That was fine. Driving to Massachusetts, it was a little over an hour and a half to that golf course, so I stayed there. But then the U.S. Open, everyone was tested before they were allowed on the ground, similar to your experience. And we were also given the opportunity, and I took advantage of it, to get tested on the Sunday that we left. The feeling was, you know, you've been around lots of people and everyone tests negative, but it's nice to know when you're leaving that as of like lunchtime Sunday, as the leaders were getting ready to go off at Wingfoot, I tested again and thankfully came back testing negative as well. So you were able to go through and get tested this weekend and you got your results back in 30 minutes. Had you been tested before for any other events that you've covered, or is this the first time that you've gone to a sporting event where you had to get tested?
That was the first time, and you know, it was very efficient, and but it was scary because, you know, you could have, my wife had been coughing for a couple of days, and you know, it kind of scared me. It's like, what happened if I got it from her? And you know, there's a lot of people, there's no hardly any European riders here because they didn't want to make the trip where they would be quarantined,
right?
So the media center is, social spacing is unbelievable. Like you have my seat, and then there's two seats empty on each side. And that's how they've done it. There's less than 100, media.
Yep.
Quarter in the arena, they call it. And, I'm not sure how many they usually have, but it's about probably 20 to 25% of what it normally is. Or the Chronicle used to get about 10 to 15 working press credentials, and we got 4 this year.
And I can tell you that Golf Week typically, last year, 2019, I believe Golf Week had 6. And then if you add in USA Today, got 1 or 2. And then we have photographers, obviously, who are also on site. It's an entourage, you know, major media outlets are going to bring troops of people. And this week, we're thankful to have you and your colleagues from the Chronicle there within our network. And this is one of the nice things about Gannett having a big network like this, is we can take advantage of your expertise, as well as Steve DiMeglio and Adam Schupacker, both going to be on site. And I believe Christine Brennan from USA Today is also going to be on site, but everyone's going to be a country mile away from each other. It's just going to be a much more different thing. And that, it's almost like an amphitheater. I mean, I was never in the Quonset Hut. My days don't at the Masters don't go back that far. But the old media center was literally an amphitheater. And it made it very easy to sort of work with your colleagues and keep in good communication. It'll be a little bit different this year, I would imagine. Let's talk a little bit about the golf course and how things are going to be different for a November Masters as opposed to an April Masters. Before we get into some of the specifics, because I understand that rain's coming, but how is the weather typically different, aside from daylight, in November in Augusta, Georgia, than what we would get typically the second weekend in April?
Right. Well, other than the rain that's coming, and it sounds like one day is going to be bad, the rest will be thunderstorms that come and go. The weather is actually like April. It's 82 today, 80 tomorrow,
nice.
high 70s the rest of the week. So that is such a thing. But in the fall, the atmosphere, of course, is different. And that makes the ball, if it was cold, it really would affect the flight of the ball. But it also, I've been told, you know, just the kind of the time of the year, that the ball is not going to go as far in the air. And then they have Bermuda fairways during the Masters, and they, for the winter part, the club opens in October, early October. They overseed with rye. Well, the Bermuda is still hanging in there a little bit, and the grass is a little bit of both right now, and it's soft, and it's going to get softer with the rain. And apparently, they haven't been able to really cut it because it's wet. And the rough is much higher than normal. Second cut, they call it. So,
interesting.
And the thing is, if it's going to start raining, they're not going to still be able to cut it. So it could, the ball's not going to roll as much because it's soft fairways. You're going to get mud balls. They've never done the lift clean in place here. So that's not going to happen. So add all that together and the scoring is going to be higher, and the putting is going to be the same because I guess the Nationals, those sub-air greens underneath the, and so they can make them any way they want. They can get them exactly like in April.
So the way that I understand it from I've had a chance to talk with the folks who know all about these things at Titleist, and the way that they explained it to me is that they said that when the air gets colder, it gets more dense, and the golf ball, a golf ball at 70 degrees will go about 3% farther than a golf ball at 50 degrees, with everything else being the same. The same thing happens when you get into humid air. Now, sometimes when you go someplace where it's really hot before a thunderstorm and you and the ball still flies and carries, it's just because the temperature is up so much it almost offsets it. But if you get a 70-degree day that's humid versus 70 degrees that is dry, the ball doesn't go as far through humid air. It's more dense, and therefore you're losing a little bit of distance. It's fascinating to me to hear that with the softness of the golf course, that the second cut could be higher. Because as you say, like there really is no quote unquote rough at Augusta National. It to me is one of the fascinating things. It allows players opportunities to try and escape. It's almost teasing them into trying to go for it because you're getting a better lie than you certainly would at a typical US Open venue, or sometimes even that you get at week to week PGA Tour events. And the pine trees that obviously are so iconic around the golf course, it's not like they're cone-shaped pine trees that have a really wide base. You see the tree, but the foliage, such as it is usually up. So if you can sort of swing the ball between or underneath the canopy, it can be played. It'll be fascinating to see, though, because, yeah, I agree. Can you imagine a world of what has to happen for them to play Lift Clean in Place at the Masters?
Yeah. Well, you know what? One thing that I haven't really heard much about, but without fans, so there's a number of any pro tournament PGA Tour event, the fans are circling the greens. They're on the fairway, especially in the Masters. They're lining both sides of the fairway, and a player hits a errant shot, like if he's flying the green, or it's going to bounce over the green. Well, it hits the people and stops. Well, that doesn't happen now. And it's amazing to me that the scoring average for the PGA Tour has been pretty much the same since, you know, I know they had fans in Houston, but before they had no fans. And I just thought that was, I thought that would be a big disadvantage for the players, but maybe they're just so good that they don't, you know, but you see them over, you know, fly a green, they get a flyer out of the rough or something, and the fans stop it. And, you know, you and I are out there playing golf. We don't get that.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, it. So a little bit of news is breaking as we're recording this on Monday morning at around 10:45. Our colleague Tim Schmidt just has posted up the story on golfweek.com based off of Twitter from the Masters. Sergio Garcia has informed Augusta National Golf Club that he will not participate in the 2020 Masters Tournament due to a positive COVID-19 result. So that is our 2017 Masters champion being forced out of this year's tournament. What is the plan if a player shows up? Are you aware of if they show up at the Masters and test positive, what happens? I mean, if they go through, you know, and they show up at Augusta National as you did, they test positive for you, you would have, I would assume, just go home and keep to yourself and try and just take care of yourself and everything like that. Do you know, is there a, what happens to players who might arrive at Augusta National and then test positive?
I think they have to have tested like we did, the media, the day before you arrived. That was the deal. I mean, I did it 2 days before I arrived. I could have done three, but I did, you know, you got to do it before you arrive so that you can't spread it when you get here. So that's very, interesting about Garcia because Joaquin Newman, of course, he had to withdraw. So that's the second one. And, I'm actually working on a story for tomorrow about the the difference between the April Masters and the November Masters for players' form, the way they were playing coming into that Masters and the way they're playing now, it's helped a lot. It's hurt some. And one of the people it helped was Sergio Garcia. He won a tournament in between there. And he had gone, I don't think he'd won since a PGA Tour event since the 2017 Masters. So he was one of those guys I was going to put on my list for tomorrow's story about it's really going to help him. And now, you know, he's not going to be here. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's others. I mean, Dustin Johnson, you know, he had to sit out for, I think, 14 days. And, you know, he was going to be on my list about, he missed some tournaments coming in here, but then he played great in Houston last year. So, it's a whole different world. Like, my wife got a kick out of, she heard on TV the other day that the NFL, somebody, players go on the COVID injured reserve list. And she's like, I've never heard of that before.
And, wow. So, we haven't heard of a lot of things never, like that before. Yeah. It's, unfortunately, so, for Garcia.
An interesting thing. Yeah, so today at noon, Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta National and Masters Tournament, is having a press conference. It was only announced yesterday. It's a new thing. And they're not saying what it's about, but there's two theories. One is that he's going to announce some charitable contributions to fight COVID. But there's also something we're hearing that is going to be very newsworthy. We're not sure what it is. It could be the Sergio Garcia thing, but we don't know. So stay tuned at noon today to see what he has to say.
That'll be interesting. So let's get into a little bit here. Let's sort of, you know, get into the story that you're writing. I've been talking with several of our colleagues here from Golf Week. I talked to Adam Shupak last week. I talked to Peter Costas, actually, a former CBS on-course analyst. He used to sit in 13 Tower and watch a whole lot of Masters. There have been a number of players who the trajectory of their year has changed due to COVID-19. I think if you look at Rory McIlroy, the guy was living in the top five before the pandemic forced golf and the rest of sport to shut down in March. Having a tremendous year, has not been able to recapture that form. Bryson DeChambeau was playing well before, obviously has won a couple of events now. The Rocket Mortgage wins the U.S. Open, is throwing around 200-mile-an-hour ball speed. So if you hear a plink off of the glass of the media center there at Augusta, you know Bryson is probably warming up the driver, getting ready for his round and hitting it literally over the top. Tell me some of the people that you're eyeing and how their year has changed in your mind due to COVID.
Well, Adam Scott is one. He was, you know, he had won, like I remember talking to him at Bay Hill, which was the tournament for the players. So Bay Hill was the last full tournament, and he had won the Australian Open. He'd won another tournament, leading into the Masters. He was playing very well and, excited. You know, and then there's 3-month break, and then he comes back and he gets COVID. So it has really slowed him down. He's coming in today for an interview, and he to me was one of the guys that was going to be one of the favorites, and now not so much. I mean, he had to miss a couple tournaments because of, you know,
the positive test.
Positive COVID. But Rory McIlroy is an interesting story because he was just like top five for about 6 weeks in a row leading into the Players. And he doesn't normally play well in the spring, although he won the Players the year before. He's not his record is not good. He's never won a tournament in April, I don't believe. But he usually plays good in the fall part of the season. So that was a theory that, well, it's going to be a trade-off. And, but he has not regained that, form that he
hasn't
had before April.
Yep.
And he's also, you know, he mentioned before he and his wife just had a child. And the week before that, he said, I just don't have like the motivation. My caddy and I are trying to come up with bets and stuff to keep me into it. But I think if you think about it, his mind was on his, you know, wife, and they're about to have a child.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know, he is, I think he is one of the favorites, but of course Bryson is by far the favorite, because people don't realize that when he came back, when the tournament started back, the year started back in the fall, he had already put on some of that weight. And then in the swing speed, then during the 3 month break, he just went crazy, and he came back with even more bulked up and stronger and, you know, the swing speed. So that helped him because he was playing good, but then he came back and he was just nailing the ball now because of what he's done during that time. He had 3 months to just do that every day.
So is there any truth to the rumor that you can report to us that Kirby Smart is still actively recruiting Bryson and looking to get him on the defense? I don't. It was a tough weekend for people in Georgia, obviously with the Florida game going on. The other thing I'm dying to ask you, so pimento cheese sandwich for you is like not a big deal, is it? You live down there. You live in that culture. For me, coming down from the north, it's the Masters officially begins when the leaders get to the back nine on Sunday, and I have my one and usually only one pimento cheese sandwich. So many of the things that we look forward to, you guys live for that. What is the over-under on the pimento cheese for you this week? I'm gonna set the Vegas line at 2.5. But I got a hunch that the under is the smart play.
I don't like them. And you know, it's really funny because it's a North Carolina thing. It's not an Augusta, Georgia thing. It's just people think it is because of the Masters, but it's a North Carolina delicacy, I guess. But my wife loves them. I don't. I go for the Masters Club, which is like a chicken sandwich. But they have all of that stuff here. And there's there's no merchandise on ground, but if you have a ticket, or if you're media, then you can go to this patrons
the website
portal and buy stuff. And there's a thing they have for $150. It's called Taste of Augusta, and you get all those sandwiches sent to your house within 2 days. They've been refrigerated the whole time, and you get all these other goodies that you would get if you were here.
Yep.
So that's a little perk, and they have a whole section of things that have 2020 on them, Masters, because that'll never happen again. We're one being played in November, we hope.
So I broke down, and last week a buddy of mine who's a policeman whose son and nephew are big golfers, I got that link, and I had Joey come on over to the house because there's all kinds of security stuff. You can't just give it to everybody and sort of – have them run amok on some things. They've got some security things in there. So he came over and got a t-shirt and sort of saw some of that stuff. And I did break down and pick up the print that's on the cover of what is, I guess, the catalog or the program, if you will.
Yeah,
and
it's
I think it's the 12th or the 13th, I forget off the top of my head, with foliage, autumn colors sort of in the back of the trees. We think Augusta and we think dogwoods and azaleas and all the beautiful flowers that you see around the golf course on TV, and we have the opportunity to see it with our own eyes every April. That, to me, was something very unique. That one was different. I've never been huge into the pimento cheese stuff. I do fancy myself one of the, sometimes more than one, of the peach cobblers, though, and they do not have that ice cream sandwich with the peach ice cream. That's good eats. I can get behind that one. I can't let you go without asking you for a winner, since you've got the local knowledge. Who do you like this week?
Well, I wrote a story today that don't be surprised if there's a surprise winner, somebody who's outside the top 50 in the world, because if you think about it, it would follow this whole theme of nothing about this tournament has gone as planned. It's been postponed. It's been no fans. So it just seems like that would be a perfect theme to carry through, that somebody like, Trevor Immelman or Zach Johnson. Zach Johnson had a great career since he won, don't get me wrong. But you know, there's some not fluke winners, but surprising winners. And, let's just say maybe not one of the marquee stars wins.
Okay.
Somebody. Bryson DeChambeau, he likes attention. It's funny because he's just a nerd, you know, and he doesn't get along with Kepka. And Kepka is a cool guy, and so they don't get along. Kepka's always badgering him and making fun of him kind of on Twitter. And there was a story in Sports Illustrated on Bryson, and there was a quote that he said that he's thought about talking to Kepka about certain things, and he's just like, no, it's not worth it. So I'd love to see those two guys paired together in the final round going for the green jacket.
Me too. To be honest with you, it would be lovely to see those two. Because those are two big boys, and I have a feeling that the Coach Smart would be happy to have either of them, like with a number 49 on his jersey and a nice cage face mask, lining up, because they would take a different approach to being a linebacker. But both of them are big enough to play it. Listen, I really appreciate David. You're coming on. Have a great week down there. Stay safe. And once again, thanks for coming on the Forward Press.
Okay, it was my pleasure. Thank you.